This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Ryssdal, and you're listening to a special podcast of the first part of our series, American Futures, with The Atlantic's Jim Fallows, his wife Deb, and Esri, the mapping company. I took a road trip a couple of weeks back with Jim Fallows, except this time, we're taking a plane.
St. Paul Ground, Cirrus 435, Sierra Romeo at St. Paul Flight Center.
Jim's plane. He and his wife Deb are flying from small town to small town in their own single-engine four-seater, with me tagging along every now and then.
Minneapolis Center, it's 435 Sierra Romeo. We're with you, 3,500.
It's part of a series we're doing with Jim and Deb and The Atlantic called American Futures, about what this country and the American economy look like right now. Because as he and I talked about in the plane that day, when you're flying around at 3,500 feet,
there's a view of the world. You get this way, you simply can't get any other way.
You can go places and learn things you might ordinarily miss.
Oh, I'll show you something else. Click the 100 low LED. Shows you the current gas prices at all the airports.
Look at that. And in the process, you come to remember pretty quick that the American economy isn't all multinational corporations and monetary policy and Wall Street. It's what's happening with people and small businesses in towns and cities all over this country and how that connects us to the rest of the world. So we're going to start for this first trip with Jim in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, which, whether we all realize it or not, is already part of our lives. From how we eat, to how we pay our bills, to how we grow our food.
Sioux Falls, runway 21, clear to land.
Before we get going, though, and bear with me here for a second, if you would, I'm going to go grocery shopping. All right, in we go. Whole Foods, Pasadena.
Oh, smells like Whole Foods.
All right, frozen foods aisle. Sioux Falls section.
Oh, wait, is that it? Start healthy, right?
It looks for all the world like an egg muffin, but it's probably not. There you go. Product of Grand Prairie Foods, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, 57103. Product of the USA, grandprairiefoods.com. This is going to cost me how much? $4.49. All right, let's give it a whack.
We're going, we don't need roads.
Sioux Falls approach, Cirrus 435 Sierra Romeo, got Tango for landing.
Our first stop in American Futures.
Cirrus 5 Sierra Romeo, Sioux Falls approach, squawk 0.
Is Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
180 on the runway, contacting ground, point 9.
We park Jim's plane. It's a Cirrus SR-22 for the general aviation buffs among you. He arranges for gas and an engine oil change, and I get into a rental car and head downtown. Sioux Falls, population just about 160,000, and by, the center of your universe. All right, maybe I'm overstating things here, but not by a whole lot. Sioux Falls is closer to you, and you are closer to it than you know. Your credit card statements? Sioux Falls. The ethanol that some of you pump into your cars, quite possibly produced in Sioux Falls. And then your food, pork, from the giant packing plant in town, not far from the airport. And from a company called Grand Prairie, just a couple of miles from downtown. Had to wash my hands before they let me look around.
So these are automatic. You just put your hand under here.
All right.
Grab some soap. And you're supposed to sing the happy birthday song.
Happy birthday to me.
Grand Prairie doesn't have the name recognition that Kraft or Tyson does. But as CEO Kurt Loudenback told me, if you've ever eaten breakfast at a hotel, or if your kids eat school lunches, or if you've bought a frozen breakfast sandwich at Whole Foods like my shopping trip earlier, you've had their stuff.
What we're doing here is packaging scrambled eggs that'll be going into hotels all around the country.
So you mean all those hotels didn't make their own scrambled eggs?
Quiet. That's our dirty little secret.
You
no,
are
actually,
putting me on.
It depends on the hotel.
Many in a
the whole time Kurt was showing me around, I kept wondering how it is that a family-owned company in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, has brand-name multinationals knocking on its door and buying their products. How does that happen?
Well, the way it started was with a neighbor of ours that owned hotels. And I was mowing the grass one day, and he stopped his car and said, "Hey, how are you doing?" And I said, "Great. Hey, do you know anybody at Hampton Inn or Marriott Hotels that I can connect with?" And he sent me their email addresses, and I reached out to them and told them a little bit about what we have, and one thing led to another, and we ended up doing business with the Hamptons. And just by happenstance, I learned that they were looking for the egg products that we're doing, and so I just said, "Hey, I think I can do those."
Grand Prairie has about 85 people working there. It's been growing the past couple of years. Good, steady jobs. which is part of the reason the unemployment rate here is so low, 3% low, and why people like this guy...
My name is Vidan Basnet.
Come here. Vidan is a refugee. He's from Bhutan in the Himalayas, and he was placed here by a social services group because of all the jobs that keep the unemployment rate so low. We talk while his wife and his sister made Bhutanese vegetable dumplings. You can hear him there in the background, I think. And we talked about his job at the packing plant. He makes ham, Smithfield ham, that you find in your grocery store.
And what do you do?
Discard the meat.
Discard the meat.
Yeah.
Is it a good job, do you think?
Yeah.
It sounds like you're not sure.
Yeah, not sure, because it's kind of hard job.
Tell me about it. What do you do every day?
He points to his thigh.
Thigh, yeah?
The ham.
The bone of the ham. You take the bone out of the ham.
Yeah.
So we get boneless ham from you.
Yeah.
Wow. And how many hams do you do every day?
Something like 5,000.
You do 5,000 hams a day?
Yeah.
You, just you?
Something like 3,000-4,000 per person.
Wow. Now, how much money do you make?
Per hour, I make $15.95.
$15.95.
But the work is too much hard. You can see my hand, see? It's like stone.
It's torn, it's blistered. Yeah, let me see.
There were calluses. They were the size of cough drops, the biggest ones you've ever seen. Like he said, just like stones.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. And that's from holding a knife?
Yeah.
So show me how you hold the knife. Like that. And you go like this?
Yeah, I do. We have to work like this, like 6 hours, 7 hours, sometimes 10 hours. We have to work like this fast. It's not danger to cut, but we have to work very fast.
There are so many immigrants and refugees in Sioux Falls now doing these kinds of jobs that the local school district has to think about how to teach kids from more than 60 different language backgrounds. 60. Spanish, no surprise, here is in the top 10. But so are Nepali and Swahili, Arabic, Somali, Amharic, spoken mostly in Ethiopia, and Vietnamese as well. People who've come to Sioux Falls from all over the world because they can get a job at Grand Prairie, for instance, making food for you. Which gets us, in a roundabout way, back to Los Angeles and my shopping trip and the microwave at Marketplace World Headquarters.
Now, we're going to see how this thing actually tastes. The interesting part of this is that when I was in Sioux Falls at Grand Prairie, I saw them making not these kind of eggs, but scrambled eggs going in a hopper by the, I don't want to say tons, but it was certainly by the hundreds of pounds of scrambled eggs, which is what that sort of looks like there. It's not bad.
You can follow along with us in this series at our website. It's marketplace.org. Just look for that tab that says American Futures. All right, now you know how Sioux Falls ends up in your grocery store and on your dining room table. But first, the food has to be grown, doesn't it? When I flew into Sioux Falls with Jim Fallows in his small plane, before we reached the city, all we could see from up there was mile after mile of farmland. And in the past couple of decades, it's here, in those corn and wheat fields, that a lot has changed.
Man, distances are long out here. I will tell you what. This is far away. How are you? Thanks so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It is literally corn as far as the eye can see.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks for all the world like an ear of corn I'd get in the supermarket.
You bet.
Keith Alverson is the sixth generation farming his family's land. And I mentioned supermarket corn because the stuff that Keith grows, it's called number two dent, isn't the sweet corn that you or I would eat. It's used for livestock and then for this.
Most of our corn goes to the local ethanol plant. It's about 10 miles away from here. I might not be back on the farm if not for some of the opportunities that things like ethanol and some of the renewable energies have created.
Almost all the corn grown in South Dakota, in fact, is the kind that Keith grows. A lot of it sold to one of the country's biggest ethanol companies, also based in Sioux Falls. Ethanol has changed the corn business, sure. Maybe it's changed it as much as high tech has. Keith is a pretty good example. His farm is a decent size.
We've got about 2,500 acres.
That's 4 square miles, and he farms those miles with just 3 other guys and some satellite navigation, too.
Obviously, we're in a barn. We're in a big barn with some unbelievably big farm equipment.
All right, you have to let me get up and sit in this tractor just
sure.
so I can say
sure.
I did it. And also because I want to. So this isn't bad.
Ow.
Bump my head. Nice seat.
Yeah.
Comfy, and you get, there's a thing for a co-pilot here.
You bet. Well, they try and make them pretty comfortable. We typically, it's 200 to 300 hours
wow.
per tractor that will be in those each spring and summer.
Yeah. Is this all GPS connected?
Yeah. It's super precise auto steer, and so this is sub-inch accuracy.
Sub-inch accuracy.
Yeah. That means that I can drive the tractor on a straight path, and I can come back 5 months from now, and it will drive within an inch of that same path.
That's insane.
And so that it's critical for some of the nutrient placement that we have yep. out in the field. Historically, you might have excess or you might not have enough. And now with that technology, we're able to place that nutrient right where it needs to be and minimize any, you know, loss to the environment or, you know, economic loss.
How old were you when you first drove a tractor like this? Probably 10, right?
Boy, yeah. I don't know if it was quite this big, but it worked into them.
Yeah, you take your kids out for rides in this thing?
Oh, absolutely.
The gear Keith's using comes from a company called Raven Industries, also based, yeah, wait for it, in Sioux Falls, but selling to farmers in Kazakhstan, Brazil, all across Europe and Asia, and of course, North America. The bottom line of all this technology, of taking 56,000 pounds worth of tractor and combine and navigating them to within half an inch using satellites orbiting 12,000 miles up in space, is to figure out how to get us more of what Keith grows for less.
You know, if you bite into this, it's not going to have the sweetness that of course, sweet corn would have.
Well, you know now I'm going to have to bite into it, so can we break it off of there? I'm going to have to, right? Bear in mind, this is uncooked corn, but that's all right. I'll do anything for Marketplace. Well, come on, that's pretty good. All right, you know what, though? It's a little chalky.
Yeah.
Right?
You bet.
The caption for the picture of what you just heard is City Boy Eats Uncooked Ethanol Corn Gets Nasty Surprise. It's all online at marketplace.org, as is our interactive mapping page from Jim and Deb Fallows, The Atlantic, and Esri. Flying a plane across the country is a pretty good way to figure out what America and the American economy look like right now. In Sioux Falls, South Dakota, one way to get a sense of all the economic changes there in the past couple of decades is to start downtown, pretty early in the day, too.
Now, why, you might properly ask, are we up at 10 minutes to 7 on a Friday morning in Sioux Falls, South Dakota? Well, I'll tell you why. Because there's a new coffee shop. And we're just going to stick our heads in and see what's going on.
What was going on was a dude sitting right outside the still-locked door. He'd brought his own chair, basically camping out.
I'm Dave Thomason.
You live here in Sioux Falls, obviously?
Yes, I do.
Now tell me again why you brought your chair to a coffee shop opening?
To be the first one here for the downtown location.
It's a place called Cafea. This is their second location, their first downtown. And when the doors finally opened right at 7 o'clock?
Oh, there we go.
Woo-hoo! Yeah! Well,
cheers from the more than modest crowd that was there, because this was quite the place to be. It's one of the newest businesses in a town where not all that long ago.
This is a cornfield. This is all a cornfield across the street, all the way up to 57th Street, which we're talking 14, 15 blocks, either pasture or cornfields.
You remember that?
Yeah. I remember cornfields on 33rd Street. We're sitting on 70th right now.
Jeff Nelson's been selling real estate in Sioux Falls for 30 years. 30 years in which the city went from cornfields to subdivisions. One reason why that happened? Take a look at your credit card bill the next time it comes in the mail.
City comes in 1981 with the credit card business.
The city came out. They started training people. And all of a sudden, everybody saw that there were a lot of people that knew how to do credit cards. So more and more banks got into it. More and more came to Sioux Falls. And that credit card industry was good for Sioux Falls, and it's still very good for Sioux Falls.
Citibank came because in 1981, South Dakota got rid of the limits on interest rates that credit card companies could charge. More banks followed, and so did, naturally, bankers. They moved here from New York City with a whole lot of money to spend.
I think that just sold for probably in the 345, 350 area. But then these, you get down the street here, we're going to go 500 and up. All the way down around the corner, there's a million.
Million-dollar house in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Oh, lots of million-dollar houses in Sioux Falls. Lots of million-dollar houses.
What do you suppose, this is sort of counterfactual here, but what do you suppose Sioux Falls would be like today if Citi and the card companies had not come in 1981?
I'd like to think that we would be similar to what we are, but I don't know that I would. I don't know that I could say that. You know, there's that old story about the difference between Sioux City and Sioux Falls. And Sioux City was a little bit bigger than we were in the late 1970s, maybe 90,000 when we were at 75 or 80. We got Citi, but Sioux City never went that way. And now they're 85,000, and we're closer to 200.
If you had your druthers, would you see Sioux Falls get bigger, or would you just keep it the way it is? Thank you very much.
If you stay the way you are, nothing ever changes, and you fall back position. If you're not growing, you're going backwards. Sioux Falls is always going to get bigger, I think.
All that change goes back to what I said on Wednesday when we started this whole thing. Sioux Falls is, in some ways, the center of your economic universe. The interest rate on your credit card, the gas that's pumped into your cars, the food your kids eat at school, it all eventually comes back to us. I drank coffee, lots of it, ate ethanol corn, and consumed a whole host of other local specialties in Sioux Falls. You can check out what my producers are calling Kai's Sioux Falls Diet at Marketplace.org. You can find that and some other web extras from our trip to Sioux Falls. Finally, a quick thought or two to close the podcast, because American Futures isn't your ordinary series. It's not a handful of stories on a single topic. It doesn't have a narrative arc the way editors like stories to have. It's more a collection of experiences. Jim and Deb Fallows and me, from time to time, are going to go out and look around. We're going to talk to people, and we're going to tell you what they tell us. And then, by the end of it, maybe a year, maybe more from now, you'll have a pretty good sense of what America and the American economy look like. And so we finish this special with the best interview I did while I was out in Sioux Falls, maybe the best interview of all time, really.
Well, this happens to be Sylvia Henkin, 92 and a half years old, and I came here in 1944 as a young, bashful bride. This used to be sort of a one-business town. After Citibank, everybody wants to get in here, and I don't blame them. And I see it only for the better. We're not Little Sioux Falls anymore. We are internationally known. And I have relatives who live all over the country, and every once in a while I'll get a call. Oh, we heard about Sioux Falls on the television or something.
And then,
happening in Sioux Falls.
She started to sing, Sylvia did.
I'm in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. It's the finest city that I know. I love
a song that her late husband commissioned for the 100th anniversary of the city of Sioux Falls.
For here in South Dakota, you get more than your quota of friends who would never let you down. I'm from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. It's my hometown. If I can't have fun, to hell with it.
We've got the whole song at, yeah, you guessed it, marketplace.org. You can also check out a map of Jim's travels, past, current, and future, and a whole bunch of blog posts and extras as well. Also, come on over and tell us why we should take American Futures to your hometown. This is Marketplace from APM.